I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up, and welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about Tales from the Dark Side, the horror anthology television show created by George Romero and Richard Rubenstein. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about Halloween Candy, directed by Tom Savini and written by Michael McDowell from October 27th, 1985.
So Tom Savini's back on the show.
Good old Tom is back once again.
Yeah. Previously on Tales for the Lizzie episode. What the hell was it
Inside
called?
Inside the Closet.
Inside the Closet.
This is the second episode that he's coming back and directing and also doing special effects for. I think this is the only other episode that he's done in the series.
Yeah, this is it. It's just, like, he did Inside the Closet and this one.
Yeah.
And they're both the best episodes of, not jumping ahead, but
yeah, but I would agree with you.
It's pretty damn good.
It's pretty damn close. Like Inside the Closet, I think we said was our favorite, if not best, from the season one. Sure. And I got to tell you, Halloween Candy is a contender for best of season two. I mean, we'll get there eventually at the end of the series.
Don't want to jump ahead, give away the rest of the season.
But there might be a little foreshadowing here.
Okay.
And also this episode, now we're five episodes into season two. This is almost like a reward for getting through the initial hump.
I guess so.
So for everyone following along and watching these that were kind of like, what are you doing? We're back on track especially after Parlor Floor Front and this one. It's like the ship has been righted.
Yeah.
We're back on track with horror in our horror anthology show.
At least for the time being.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't know what comes next, or I don't know at least.
So not only does Tom direct this one, but he also does effects. But there's also an all-star team working on this, guys.
Yeah.
We got Howard Berger and Greg Nicotero and Ed French working on this episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All hands on deck here.
Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like dream team.
Yep.
And another thing I just want to note before we get to the Fangoria thing is Phil Abram is doing the cinematography for this, which we'll talk about, but I think is one of the best shot episodes that we've seen so far.
Yeah, there's some weird camera techniques going on here.
Yeah.
Especially later on when things get a little, hectic, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some really creative shots and like how things are done. It's fun.
Yeah, 100%. And like, it's fun to see this, and that because he also directed or shot five episodes of Daredevil, like the series with Charlie Cox.
Okay.
The one for Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
And two episodes of Castle Rock. And a shit ton of Orange is the New Black.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But with that being said, can we get that Fangoria synopsis, please?
Yeah. So here's the official Fangoria synopsis. Year after year, grumpy Mr. Killip refuses to give trick-or-treaters a single candy bar. Late one Hallow's Eve, a miniature goblin arrives at Killip's door to teach him a gruesome lesson. Wait, I thought we were doing Tales from the Dark Side, not Trick or Treat.
Dear Michael Dougherty, you have some explaining to do, sir. This is fucking verbatim the last story in Trick or Treat. It's the spirit, the literal spirit of Halloween incarnate terrorizing this old man who is just a mean son of a bitch who hates Halloween and doesn't want to give out candy to kids and shit. Like, get off my lawn type stuff.
I mean, he doesn't go so far as the guy in the pilot who's got like a contraption to like fool people to come into his house.
Well, Gidgeon Hackles, he loves Halloween, man. He wants to scare the shit out of those kids.
He's the other yang on the yang to this guy's yang.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
They both get visited by somebody who doesn't agree with what they're doing, but different results, I guess.
As spooky as all the denizens of Halloween are, they're pretty good, entities.
Well, they're from Halloween Town, obviously.
Yes, you know how like everybody's real nice in Halloween Town in Nightmare Before Christmas? Yeah, they're scary but not mean.
They just look that way. They can't help it.
Yeah,
just little rascals.
Yeah.
Getting into mischief.
They'll scare you, but they don't want to hurt you, you know?
This one does.
Well, maybe.
Little goblins.
So we get introduced to Mr. Killup, who's played by Roy Poole. And this fucking guy's like in a neck brace. And
he loves Buzz too.
Yeah, he does. He sure does. And he's just like the biggest curmudgeon you could ever like imagine.
Yeah, crotchety old man living by himself.
And like
ultimate stereotype.
Yeah, and his son comes by to drop off candy and like food and stuff for him, like to check up on him. And like you through the passage of all this dialogue, you kind of gather the fact that like this man has lost all will to like live or like respect for anything or care in the world. I guess because his wife has passed away and he's just like, I don't know, I guess that like destroyed him. But he also hasn't been a great dad to his son either.
It sounds like a son of a bitch from top to bottom.
Yeah,
you know?
100%.
Yeah, his son just comes by to check up on him and feels bad for him. But he gets how his dad is.
Yeah.
And he's just fed up.
Not only is he fed up, but he's like, I'm not cleaning your fucking house after the kids egg it and soap your windows because you didn't give him any candy.
I'm not climbing these trees to get the toilet paper out. He's like, I brought candy. You're going to give it out and they're not going to trash your house.
You lock the windows because they sneak in. They do that now. If you don't give them candy, he's like, Jesus Christ, Dad, just give them the candy. Like, what's the problem?
He definitely is kind of the son that's only sticking around because there's a blood relation and is questioning every day why he continues to do it.
Yeah. And like they have this. They also have this exchange, too, where like he's like, yeah, well, you know, when I was a kid and we went to Miss Whatever's house and she didn't give us candy, you know, I cut her garden hose off and like
shaved her cat.
And shaved her cat. And he's like, well, she's dead, so I'm the meanest on the block.
Get that award now.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And the son here kind of like in a little bit reminds me of like James Lorenz.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
He's played by Tim Choate, who was in Tim Choate.
That's an unfortunate
can't say
last
that on
name.
YouTube.
Tim Coat or Choate. It's C-H.
Choad.
Probably Choad.
He's in Blowout and Ghost Story.
Oh, Chodes and Blowout. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The adult section.
So he drops the candy off and he's like, all right, Dad, I'll come back tomorrow night.
Well, the candy his dad doesn't want, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He's like, you better give all this candy better be gone. And you better give it out to the kids because I'm not cleaning the shit up again. And he's like, hopefully one of them has a sugar rush and dies right there on the front step. And I'm like, holy shit.
This
dude,
guy's mean.
This guy, like, he's no remorse.
I got to take my thinking brain off watching this one because I'm like, well, just turn the porch light off, dumbass. And I'm like, oh, wait, then there's no story. There's no show. Keep it on, old man. Keep yelling at those kids.
I hate Halloween. I hate being bothered. And he's like, well, I told you to come over, Dad. And like, and he's like, no, I got to hold down the house, make sure they don't destroy it.
Got to protect this house.
Protect
what are you going to do? You're in a neck brace.
Yeah, but he also like sits like in the recliner in the other room that's like a mile away from the front door. So as soon as the bell starts ringing, he's I got to walk all the way over there with my broken fucking neck.
It's just a really sad part, too, where he's like, you know, his son's like, I'll be back tomorrow with the groceries. Cause like, what do you got? Like three eggs in there or some mayonnaise and some Swiss cheese,
buttermilk.
And he's like, you've been stuffing yourself, haven't you? And he's like, that's all I do is eat. Nothing else to do except eat. I'm like, dude,
It's like sad old man.
Like really sad. Yeah. Can you bring me some of those waffles? Not that shitty kind.
The real frozen ones.
The real frozen ones, yeah. Not the shit you not pour out of a carton.
That was kind of great. I like that.
Look, you better give out that candy or you're going to deserve what those kids are going to give to you. I love there's a sign outside too.
No solicitor.
No salesmen. No census takers or religious fanatics.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Didn't need to be there. Nice little touch.
I like that too. Nobody can knock on my fucking door, man.
So all these little kids start coming to the door and they're all played by the same guy, Gary Pratt, who's also...
He plays all the kids.
A little man, yeah. But somebody else plays the goblin, which we'll get to.
Oh, okay. Got
you. So you get like an Easter bunny and a clown and you get Dougie from Satan's Little Helper. He comes.
Yeah, he's all sorts of weird little costumes.
Yeah. He's like, what, did you change masks or something?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, apparently he did.
He's like... not giving the candy out. It's right there.
And he's opening the door for him.
He's opening the door. He's like, get out of here. Don't pay my door. I called the cops and you tell your mom you're a wicked child and all this shit.
The first kid that shows up, it's like, he just says like, I'm not giving you candy. Kid's like, all right. Puts his bag down, pulls out spray paint. He's like, oh, I'm prepared for this.
Yeah, he's going to mark the house.
Do you ever do that as a kid?
No.
Do you ever carry around spray paint if someone didn't give you candy?
No. That's a hell of a thing, though. It is. I remember going out on like Mischief Night a couple times. That was about it. When I could sneak out.
Yeah. But it's like eggs and toilet paper.
Eggs and toilet paper, shaving cream. Paint. Yeah, no, soap. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he just stayed inside, harmless. Watched The Simpsons, and just went on a fucking sugar high, eating everything in the bag.
I love when he opens the door, he's like, I don't have any candy. I'm sick. Can't see that? I'm wearing a neck brace. Get out of here.
And it's like, you have to think, is the neck brace real? Or did he just like throw it on just to play victim? And
probably it's that.
Maybe so people feel sorry for him?
Maybe.
Maybe he's just so like.
Or they see the neck brace and they're like, oh, I'll leave him alone. I won't knock on his door.
Well, maybe he's like so upset that like he can't keep his head up, so he needs the fucking thing there. Like,
well, he does have his TV remote built into his fucking recliner, so anything to get him comfortable, so he only has to move like.
So Dougie from Satan's Little Helper shows up and he's like, candy, you want candy? He goes, he's like, hang on 1 second.
Oh, this part's great.
He goes to the fridge and he like grabs honey and like Elmer's glue and like mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of just giving him the fucking candy, he like makes this concoction of shit.
Yeah, he's like, you want candy? I'll give you candy.
Goblin candy. And he like spoons out this shit in this kid's bag.
So everyone at home, grab your mayonnaise, some Elmer's glue.
We're going to make some bowl of candy. We're gonna make some goblin candy. Oh
my God. That took so much effort. Like, how long was that kid standing there? Like 10 minutes while this congealed?
So then now we get like these flashes that happen, which I don't know if I'm crazy about for this edit, but there's like flashes of this demon we're about to see, like the spirit of Samhain, and like glimpses of like a dead body and all this kind of stuff, which, you know, it's fine for the foreshadowing and stuff, but like I think it's a little too much.
It gets a little heavy, especially at the end,
because like now we're like filling out time, and like I guess they thought like it was too slow, so they needed to chop that in there.
And it's also like overlaid like the TV static, so it's like, well, did that really happen, or was it just some weird thing on the TV?
I love that,
like,
too.
It gets a little weird where you can't tell if he's like having a dream.
Which I guess
like
is the point.
Like he fell asleep watching TV.
Yeah.
And it's fun how it plays with that. It's like, what's actually real here?
Exactly. So he falls asleep.
Yeah.
And this TV static, like you said, and there's just like incessant doorbell ringing. And he wakes up out of his chair.
Yeah,
and
it's like 11:30.
He's like, it's 11:30. Who's knocking at the door? So he goes, he's like, well, get out of here. I don't have any candy. Go home. Tell your mother you're a wicked child and blah, blah, blah. And he opens the door. There's nobody there.
Yeah, leaves are blowing in.
it's creepy man. There's no music. It's just the rustle of the leaves and the wind blowing. And it's really well done. So he closes the door and it's just ringing again. And then you hear this voice and it's like, trick or treat. Trick or treat.
It's real creepy.
It's like, dude, that's not a kid out there.
It's like fucking Trogdor or something. Lubden or something's out there, guys.
So he opens the door again and there's nobody out there. He looks out the window. He sees like the demon face. And he
Jody's
goes to,
out there.
He goes to like slam the door and the thing like kicks it open again.
Yeah, this part's weird. It just like walks into his house, like right a little past the front door, reaches for the bowl of candy he has like on this little table.
Yeah.
And just like takes a piece at a time.
Takes a Hershey kiss.
I always remember the hand like coming in and like plucking it out. Yeah. It's gross. And
the hands are weird.
Yeah, they're like really thin and they have these big bulb finger tips.
These weird like bulbous fingers. It just takes a Hershey kiss.
And it, like with like two fingers and just like picks it up. And then he goes to take more candy, and Mr. Killip like tries to stop him. And he like grabs his arm and his wristwatch falls off.
Yeah, and this is like a weird cut right here, or like a weird shot the way it's all
kind
of put together. Yeah.
It's like, is he grabbing his hand or like hitting his hand or whatever? It's a weird shot.
He
where
it slides it off.
Yeah, where he kind of like grabs his watch.
Yeah.
But the watch falls to the ground, breaks.
He like, and then he like pushes this demon thing and it does like a back roll somersault, and then like it's all reverse photography, which is cool, and like jumps back up. It like jumps on a on his
the railing.
His porch railing, and it's like waving at him and shit, and the door slams shut and he like steps on his watch and breaks it.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Right, and then he's perpetually stuck at midnight for the rest of this.
Yeah, so he doesn't have any no sense of time, because like he goes into the kitchen at one point and that clock's dead too.
Well, he looks at like it's either on the TV or he actually calls someone to find out what time it is, and it's like the emergency signal is saying it's 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and it gets a little like surreal here, because it's just the one guy by himself in his house. And yeah, he picks up the phone, tries to call his son. He is like, only phone number saved is his son's.
Yeah, like his son's picking up. I guess if you're getting a call from dad at midnight, maybe you're going to pick up. But
yeah, but he keeps getting like the operator or like the what is it? It's not like a busy signal or like it's some weird like operator.
It's the woman from Answer Me on the other line of the phone. Yeah. And it's Harry.
It's Harry Anderson.
It's Harry Anderson.
Anderson. Yeah, of course.
He's obviously like, yeah, do the words alternate universe mean anything to you? And he hangs up. No, that's not what happened. No, it's like at the sound of the tone, the time is midnight exactly. Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck? Midnight?
And he keeps calling. Like, he calls like four times.
And he's like, no, that's wrong. Yeah. That's wrong. And he picks it up again. And it's like, the time is midnight.
Still midnight.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he's like, well, there's definitely been a few hours have gone by. And he's like, still midnight.
Well, he falls asleep again. Yeah. And he's like, huh, I must have been asleep for hours now. It feels like I slept for hours. I think I'll have some breakfast. Yeah, that's what I'll do. And he gets up and he's like, ah, it's still dark outside. Oh, we missed one thing, too. There's a creepy scene when he sits down on his couch again, or his chair. There's like a sack on the floor and it just starts moving.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
The goblin sack that he left in there. That's what it was.
It like moves around, and then I guess they had some roaches left over from Creepshow.
I was about to say they're creeping up on him.
Yeah, because they all come out of the bag. It's all gross and creepy. But yeah, after he wakes up, he goes into the kitchen. He sees the clock's dead and he's like, yeah, it's got to be morning. And he looks outside. And he's like, huh. Must be just a bunch of dark clouds, or the sun's behind the dark clouds.
It's early.
It's just early.
He's got like a glass, like a glass of water or something. He goes to take a sip out of it. It looks like curdled milk or some shit in there. Ah, he drops the glass.
It turns into bugs.
Yeah.
He drops more, it.
They're really getting their mileage from those roaches.
He like looks over. There's like roaches all over his like oven and stuff.
Those are just ones they captured from the set of Creepshow 2.
Well,
these fucking roaches.
Yeah, they built the set around them because they were still there. The fridge door opens and like an egg rolls out and smashed on the floor. There's more roaches in there.
They come out of the eggs.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
As we find out.
So now he's just like trying to get out of the house, right? And the back door is locked. The front door is locked. He like opens he rips the blinds down and he's trying to like break his way through the front window.
With his little cane.
With his cane like, to get
hitting
out.
It with like no force.
The fucking TV's static and he's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And now the phone is off the hook, just like, yeah, the current time is 12 o'clock exactly.
Well, he smashes the TV.
That blows out. And he's looking out the window and the face pops up again.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a really creepy shot when he's in the kitchen where the face just comes up behind him. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like
the real
cat. Yeah.
And he's like, that's not a mask. That's not a Halloween mask. And then he has this freak out. But then the culmination of this is him in the front of his house. And he's looking out the window and sees the demon like on a swing. And it's like waving at him.
He's still waving at him. Yeah. He's just getting like tormented by this thing, just looking in through his windows.
Yeah. And then he closes the blinds and he turns around and it's right in his face.
Yeah.
And it's like, trick or treat, chill up.
Well, and it keeps saying that, trick or treat.
Yeah, tricks or treats.
Yeah. And then switches it. It's like, treats or tricks.
Yeah.
How about both?
It's kind of creepy.
Then it's this weird shot again where the thing reaches up and grabs him by the throat and he grabs the goblin and like, they both turn and like tumble, and the camera rolls with them. So it looks like the goblin like throws him to the ground and like breaks his neck.
Yeah, it's a weird shot, and I think it's like because the actor's so old, it's like they can't have a guy fall on the floor. So it looks like they had him stand up, put a carpet on a board, and just like had the board like coming towards him to make it look like he's falling.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's shot. It's kind of cool though.
It's quick, but it is cool. Yeah, it's just like, a strange shot.
Like they were trying something different.
Yeah,
which I thought. Well, Savini's
like, well, if I'm going to direct this, I might as well try to do something different so that they remember that it was Savini. Granted, I know he's not technically the camera person. But...
Well, I think it might have been Phil Abrams. That's what I'm saying.
Well, there you go.
Like, there's all this kind of like inventive stuff for a television show, which they probably forego if they didn't have to. It was under time constraints and stuff.
True.
But it feels like this one feels like a very fully formed, storyboarded thing that they put together.
And this feels a little more like cinematic.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of our episodes, I mean, you know, pretty much all of the episodes
are very like one shot things, or like maybe there's like a
three camera
dolly,
maybe,
you know.
But it's like this one has some like atmosphere to it, which we don't. It's like we get here and there, but this whole episode is like
it's creepy as hell. So this thing kills this old man, and like as it walks out, it like pats his head and just leaves. It's really
kind of like it doesn't do anything like super malicious.
No,
it's just tormenting the guy because he's just, you know, an asshole.
Just
because
he's an asshole on Halloween. Thanks, Michael Dougherty.
Well, there is one big difference, though.
There is a big difference.
I don't remember in Michael Dougherty's version, the guy being sucked dry like a skeleton.
Oh, he's desiccated.
Oh, yeah.
A mummy.
This is weird.
So the son shows back up and finds his dad dead. Then he calls the cops. And the investigator's like, you better call yourself a good lawyer there, kiddo. And he's
got
like,
some explaining to do.
He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, this is the most serious case of neglect I've ever seen in my life. This man has been starving for 7 weeks with nothing but Halloween candy to eat.
Which is a killer final line. He's been walking around with a bag of Halloween candy for weeks to eat.
So there's this desiccated corpse of his dad on the ground, and it's so dead that they deduce that it's been there for 7 weeks. That's how long that night lasted.
And like the face on his dad here, it's this weird, like sucked out.
Oh,
yeah.
Like the cheekbones are all like
it's
accentuated
great.
And everything. The eyes are all bulged out.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's creepy. Yeah. And it holds on that for the end of the episode until the credits roll, man. It's
haunting.
It's like the episode could have very well ended with the goblin and the old guy and like him dying and just had the credits there. Like, oh, cool. There's the episode. But it goes the extra mile of like, now it's this weird thing. Now the son's responsible because like, he's in this weird state. It's like, what actually happened here?
Yeah. I think it's done like super, super well. And like the spirit of Halloween coming and like killing this guy for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know,
the moral of the story is to give out candy on Halloween
and keep your pumpkin lit
or turn your fucking porch light off. If you really don't want to be involved,
they know you're home. He wants them.
Yeah.
The thing with this guy is he wants them to come to the door so he can be like, fucking get out of here.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely.
He's like, I don't want to be bothered. But like, he also craves the attention at the same time.
Let's give him something to do.
Yeah.
Besides watching TV and
or eat.
Eating eggs.
Yeah. And mayonnaise. Gobbling.
Elmer's glue.
What is he doing with that?
Sniffing it, I guess.
Sniffing Elmer's. Okay.
That's how he broke his neck.
So what do we think of this one?
That's a good one. It sounds like you guys like this more than I do based on what you both just have said. But yeah, this is really fun. It's not really a twist. You kind of see it coming a mile away as soon as the goblin is introduced that this guy is going to probably die or have a really bad night either way. And that's exactly what happens. But the road we take to get there is very fun and kind of ends in a... I would say somber, but you want to see this character kind of get it. So it's just kind of creepy with that the body. And you have to just like in the back of your head think like, damn, Savini definitely saw this when he was in Vietnam. And that's why it looks so fucking realistic. And it just
we saw goblins.
Well, yeah, exactly. It was every tooth was exactly where it needed to be. And he also saw dead bodies, believe it or not. But yeah, I guess my point is it's very... It's kind of bone chilling. Again, I know it is a horror show, but I'm just kind of putting myself in the shoes of people watching this, you know, whenever this aired Friday night or whatever. And it's like, oh, God damn, I saw like, I know it's fake, but it like basically looks like a real dead body. And that's like pretty impressive. Just really kind of comes together. Again, don't love it, but a very good episode. I can't disagree at all.
Yeah, like with Sean said, with this airing like right at you know a certain time, this came out. I think it was like October 27th.
It was right it was right on the cusp there, yeah. So it must have been like Halloween must have been that weekend, yeah. Or like fell on a Monday or
so
something.
So that's like perfect timing.
Yeah,
it's like sometimes you'll get movies like Christmas movies coming out in the summer.
Yeah,
it's like didn't Gremlins come out in like August or something?
I want to say yeah. It was also re-released like in September. Okay, like they released it twice, but yeah, okay. Something like
Predator 2 comes to mind.
Yeah, this Christmas or yeah. This Thanksgiving. Yeah,
which is that's weird.
But it's like this Predator one, it's 2 like, is a Thanksgiving movie.
It's that's the opposite right. Kind of. Yeah.
But it's like this came out right before Halloween, so with along with like Simpsons and like all these like TV episodes that have like. There's always a Christmas episode or a Halloween episode.
Family Matters, Full House, all that. Like CGI like, Friday stuff.
Yeah. So this lucked out being released right before Halloween. Mm-hmm. Get you in the spirit.
Oh, big time.
And I think it's a great way to do it. It's like, I love this episode.
100%.
It's a lot of fun. And, you know, seeing some old guy get tormented by the spirit of Halloween is a lot of fun.
And I can see, like, first of all, let me just cap that off with the fact that, like, and I can see why, like, Michael Dougherty probably got inspired by it. I mean, it's clearly obvious that he was inspired by it. And I think his thing, we're busting his balls, but I think he did it successfully too. But I really love this one. I mean, what is not to love about this? It takes place on Halloween. There's a fucking goblin that is the personification of Halloween and Samhain. And, like, you have a banger effects team on this. You have Tom Savini himself directing the episode. You got Berger, you got Nicotero, you got French. Everybody's bringing it here. And again, like Abram on the cinematography, like this is like an elevated Tales from the Dark Side episode. There's a lot more going on production wise from a production standpoint here than most of these episodes. So it's like it's almost like a Halloween special of Tales from the Dark Side. You know, where they put a little bit more time and effort into like the special stuff.
Yeah. And it shows. And it's like, I wish they had a little more, like more opportunities to do sort of these bigger episodes.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, it's not perfect. You're still limited like the budget here.
It's for TV.
Yeah. So it's like, you're getting as much as you can, like as much bang for your buck with a TV budget. And it's like they're doing the best with what they got.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Ray Poole's really good, like as the old man, as old man Killip. I love his cadence with everything. Yeah. Like, I feel like this guy just in general at that time probably just didn't give a shit either. Because he's like, I don't know, the way that he's delivering these lines is both stale, but also angry at the same time, which I really like. And just to cap that off, like you guys said, I mean, this comes out for Halloween. We are right on the cusp of Halloween. And like, I would be so looking forward to this. Like, I could see the commercial like in my head and I've never even seen it before. But like, you know, Tales from the Dark Side, this, you know, this Friday, Halloween candy, you know, this
show the goblin waving.
The waving.
Stuff,
and you're like, oh, my God, I cannot wait to pop the popcorn, fire that up and dive into that and scare the shit out of myself.
Break out the candy corn.
Yeah. Turn all the lights off and kick it with some Tales from the Dark Side. I think it's really great. And I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be my favorite episode of season two. But I really love this one. But yeah, let us know what you think about this episode. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Are you just in between on it? And if you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor, hit like, please, and subscribe if you haven't. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review if you're digging the show. But until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Tales from the Dark Side is always there, waiting for us to watch it, waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.